Hey, thanks for tuning in. So why not bring the needed training for your techs and even service advisors right to you? An interesting and wide-ranging discussion from four of your industry colleagues. I know training matters to you. You're going to love this discussion. Hey, it's Carmen. I'm hanging with Dave Denman, John Bachman, Scott Shotton, and Eric Ziegler. This was broadcast last Friday at noon Eastern Time and now is repurposed as a podcast and video. The key talking points are listed on the show notes page, and they'll make a great meeting agenda or outline for change. Find them on the show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/A179. In the pure essence, listen to the guys discuss bringing the training to you. It's smart, specific, and focused on exactly what you need, both theory and hands-on, and one-on-one because of smaller class sizes, and even defray costs by inviting local shops to participate. Hey, I want to thank Shopware for bringing the Academy to you. Isn't it time you wowed your customers while keeping your distance? Even while staying 6 feet apart, Shopware's innovative technology will help you move cars through safely and efficiently. Completely digital workflow allows your customers to review, approve, and pay for their purchases all in one place. Request a demo at getshopware.com/CARM, C-A-R-M. Thanks for tuning in and for surfing remarkableresults.biz's website. We've got great resources there. We've cataloged the episodes by category and keywords, and you can even search, yes, search for a topic name or idea and find something that you can listen to or watch that may bring a solution to one of your problem areas or even a pain point.
But that becomes a teaching lesson at that moment also.
I was going to say, I think you're right on. And you know, a lot of times there's so many generalized courses that you can send your guys to. But, you know, some guys are above it, some guys are below it. And when you can actually, you know, pinpoint what you are really looking for, I think this is where it really needs to go is the specialized boutique training.
Hey, more great stuff like this in a minute. I'm so glad you're tuning in for the best aftermarket talk radio that I hope exceeds your expectations. Hey, look it. I bet you know an outstanding shop owner, technician, or service advisors. I'm sure you do. Now, how would you like to nominate one of them or all of them for a national honor from Apex? Yes, Apex is announcing the annual Service Professional Awards that will be presented at Apex this year, 2020. Nominate a friend or even yourself. Get all the details at aapexshow.com/serviceawards. I'll put the link in the show notes. The deadline is July 31st, 2020. You can get a PDF version of the application online to see the qualifications that are needed to nominate. I'm sure every listener to the podcast would qualify for top honors, so please, please make the first move and nominate an outstanding professional in any one of those categories. Hey, I keep wearing my mask when I go out, both as a preventative and to protect me. Let's get together and help control the virus. Hey, get ready for an outstanding discussion on an important topic: training. Shop owners Dave Denman and John Bachman sit with trainers Scott Shotton and Eric Ziegler for this broad-ranging discussion. Thank you so much for coming on. We're here to talk about what I call boutique training, and some of you say, what the hell is that? Well, we'll explain in a minute. I got a great panel with me, Scott Shotton, Drivability Guys, Mobile Diag Specialist. He's the car guy. John Bachman's here from Bachman's Auto Care in Sycamore, Illinois, two locations. Hello, John.
Hi, how are you, Carm?
Good, man. Dave Denman, Dave's Car Care, Phoenix.
How are you folks today?
Good to have you. First time on Town Hall Academy. Eric Ziegler's with us. Easy Diagnostics, Peoria, Illinois. Actually, Jacksonville, Florida right now, right?
I am. Company's out of Peoria. I do my residence is in Florida now and do some training around the country, too. So glad to be here.
You guys have been great contributors to the podcast, Remarkable Results, and the Town Hall Academy. So thanks for being here. We're going to talk about boutique training. There's this thing called a pandemic going on, and I know everyone is always curious, hey, how's business, how's business, how's business? Dave, how's business?
April was our 40th year, this 2020, and it was the highest performing financial month we had in our 40-year history.
Wow.
So business is strong. Our average ticket is up approximately 25%. We're week booked out, and everybody internally is very happy.
Glad to hear it. You're on fire. How about you, John?
Once the pandemic hit, we really went down about 50%. And then slowly we've been building it back up. And right now we're right where we were last year as far as not year-to-date numbers, but roughly what we were doing last year at this time.
Lots of survivability going on in our industry, and it's always so good to hear. As I have chatted with Scott and Dave, we have talked about, and Eric, about this specific, special, personalized technician mentoring type training. And I said, well, it sounds like boutique training. And so I called it boutique training. The name of this thing is boutique training, you know, how to focus and specialize training for your technicians. And I think it was Eric who may have mentioned that that just may be too soft of a word to use in the industry. I'm more than happy for anyone, Facebook, who's watching us, for my team to say, let us come up with a name for this, not boutique, but something. And why it was always boutique is, you know, if you're going to go to a boutique clothing store, they specialize in one particular thing, and you know you're going there and you're just getting that. And that's, I just couldn't come up with a better definition. But what we're here to talk about is how David and John decided to bring the trainer to them and zero in and focus on the training that they needed, not only in leader-led, you know, presentation style, but, you know, okay, let's go into the bays. Let's really do this. Let's do the hands-on. And then the other beautiful thing that's going on around the country is shops like Dave and John, and I'm not sure if you're all doing this, but we need to hear this from you. Are you inviting other shop owners to come in and defray the cost? And they take advantage of, if you will, that tighter, more intimate setting. So those are the things that we want to talk about and encourage people in the industry to consider this kind of training. So Dave, John, the advantages of personalized and customized training for you guys.
I mean, to me, it was pretty much a no-brainer. You know, my guys were looking for a certain type of training. Scott was around, and he could provide it for us. So to me, it was a win-win situation. I've known Scott for quite some time, and he did a great job of training my guys and actually training some other guys from the other shops in our area, too.
When I met Eric and Scott at Vision, was about 6 years ago, I put together this coalition in Phoenix that involved as much as 7-8 shops at a time, but a core group. Realistically, there were 10 to 25 to 30 techs at a session. With that said, I reduced my training costs, but that has to be managed. I mean, the invitations that have to go out, the facilities, be ready to get complaints about what lunch you served. You got to manage this thing and keep the direction going. But I do believe that in the future, I'm going to withdraw from involving other shops, and I'm going to focus primarily on my program, a 12-month design, and try to specifically get what we're trying to achieve with their mastering certain pieces and certain components, where they're not afraid to open the piece of equipment and they have the confidence and buttonology, I guess, that they know which button to push to get the data to make an intelligent decision on how to diagnose the vehicle properly.
Is that decision based on what you've experienced with us coming out to train, or partially on the COVID situation?
Well, not partially on the COVID. I mean, the COVID's changed everything, but number one, I would rather go ahead and spend my investment on myself, control my environment, and I'm not trying to convince people to come to what I'm trying to present and manage it. It's easier for me to do that in-house specifically and be responsible for my stuff. As far as shared training, I have done that in Phoenix, Arizona since 1988. I've always brought, whether it be management training, I just started with the technical with Eric, but number one, the focus and attention, and John, you helped me understand it. If you're looking for specific management marketing training in your marketplace, you're sure as hell not going to get it from Napa or CarQuest. And to me, those technical training classes that are put on by those vendors, the guys are in and out. They're not absorbing nothing. They have nobody to rely on if there's a problem, or they don't comprehend the data, and they're lost. What you need is a relationship where if they're struggling, they can get on that telephone and find somebody to help them through the struggle, whether connected, whatever. But that becomes a teaching lesson at that moment also.
I was going to say, I think you're right on. And you know, a lot of times there's so many generalized courses that you can send your guys to. But, you know, some guys are above it, some guys are below it. And when you can actually, you know, pinpoint what you are really looking for, I think this is where it really needs to go, is the specialized boutique training.
I can elaborate on that just a little bit with John's situation. Been going for what about now? About two-ish months?
Yeah, almost two.
Two-ish months training one guy one-on-one.
Yep.
Right? Picoscope is the subject.
Exactly.
We started out basic. And one of the advantages of this, we'll call it boutique, right? This kind of, it's customized, might be a good word. You get to get in. A trainer gets to get in and see a technician and talk to them face to face instead of a room of 30 or 200 or whatever people. And you can go, all right, cool. I have to teach you the basics. And then when you find out they learn that they know the basics, you can move forward faster and provide information that is valuable to them. Or you could get in and find out they want an advanced class and they need the basics. So this one-on-one with John's case or small group training, not only for the COVID situation, but it allows a trainer an ability to adjust the training to customize. All right, here's the topic you want to know about. We see where you're at. We go, all right, cool. You need to know this first, this second, this third, and we work our way through it. It's definitely different. The hands-on training in small groups, my opinion is, it's great. I've been in situations, Eric's been there with me for, let's just call it small group data mining, where we have a handful, maybe 10 guys that meet at a shop and do some research on GDI, for example. And Eric was there at a friend's shop years ago. Whenever you're in a small group and you get to actually put your hands on the car, there doesn't necessarily have to be a screen up with a presentation. Because the questions that come up in a small group, you can go, oh, make this connection. Find me the wiring diagram. Let's make this connection. Let's look at the scope capture. And they retain, from my experience, they retain better because I did. You know, I learned some of the best things from when I was in those small groups with Scott Manna.
What was the topic we did in, I think it was Apex 2 years ago, Carmen? It was Bob Greenwood and I.
Impressive trainers, yes.
And Bob Buzz line that I picked up on that was to create a culture of learning in a shop. And I like that. I just figured out how to turn on the comments coming in. And I see that John Calupo from Milwaukee, Wisconsin has popped in the room. And John was early on in some of this stuff, like Scott goes to John Bachman's shop. John Calupo had attended some of my automotive seminars training and had reached out to me. It's been 3 or 4 years ago. I went to his place and said, hey, I'd like to really, you know, do things in-house. And would you come up? And I was like, sure. So it takes a special shop owner to embrace that investment, number one, but it's not only investment financially, but it's an investment in his people. And I think that one-on-one creates that culture of learning. So like Dave said, they have a little bit more familiarity with a piece of equipment, something like a Picoscope, maybe a certain OEM scanner or something like that. And techs become more confident, which improves their proficiency.
I'd like to say that I don't want this podcast or this town hall to become an advertisement for Eric and I. There are many other trainers out there that are willing to do this kind of stuff. You got a training budget, hopefully. You hire someone out and to come and teach hands-on. The value of that hands-on stuff, you'll see it once you do it. Call me if you want. Call Eric if you want. Call anyone else. Trainers are going to go out and do it. Just as your training world is adapting, our training world is adapting.
That's a great point, Scott. You're right. Of course, this episode is starting out with you and Eric, and you guys are both doing this with Dave and John. However, this helps set the tone and possibly the pace of this style and kind of training. And, you know, there's always somebody out there first, but you're right. There are so many great trainers. Think about post-COVID. I mean, we're all saying, could this type of training be the same, the new normal? And why? Smaller, more controlled environment. And we do know that the big venues are there. They're some of the best we can ever have. There's a lot of camaraderie that happens in them, a lot of networking that happens. But who knows when will be the day that you don't have to have two seats, you know, next to you and everyone wearing masks. So I can see the value today of making this something that everyone should look forward to. I mean, I hope you guys are extremely busy doing this kind of specific, special, personal, customized training for the industry.
Well, COVID has changed a lot in that regard. If you look at the big events that were changed, like ASAAT in Seattle, Seattle was on one of the forefronts of the CV-19 pandemic when it started. I think Bimmers, did you say canceled, Scott? I just got an email the other day that G. Trigulia's big event has been rescheduled. A lot of those big name marquee style trainings for a long time, they're going to continue on, but at what point there's going to be, you know, a vacuum there for a year. And like, if, you know, it's like you see it in kids that have had to do the online training at school. There's at least in my grandkids, there's a little drop off and, you know, there's only so much they can retain or so much they can, you know, they lose a little bit in that interim in between getting back to the new norm, and who knows where it's going to shake out. So this is just another way of doing it. It's been going on while the big stuff is going on, and by no means would I ever want to substitute, like you said, the networking abilities of an ASA, ATE, of a Vision. Those were all places that we made so many friends and made so many connections. That's indeed where I met Dave Denman. So I think it can be done in conjunction with as well.
Kudos to the companies that are doing free training online.
Absolutely.
Okay? Yeah. Right? During the situation. But eventually, that there's no networking that's going on there. Right? Agreed? This small thing, you can still network, but it's a smaller group. It's not as good. I can't wait for Vision next year. I hope it happens. Right? Because of the networking.
I think it will by that time next March. In fact, we had Sherry on a couple, 3 weeks ago. Great, great panel, Adapt or Die. Please go and check that out. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Shopware's shop management system allows customers to review, approve, and pay for repairs all in one place. Now, one, your customer views their outstanding balance. Number two, they are prompted to submit payment directly through their invoice. And three, Shopware's secure portal facilitates payments right there without having to open another browser or remember another password. It's really that simple. Shopware is your complete solution for contactless service. Let remote pay work for you and improve your customer experience. Get started today. Visit getshopware.com for more information and to request a demo. Eric, you mentioned you and Bob Greenwood 2 years ago at Apex, a great episode. I looked it up. 387. That's the Remarkable Results Radio. It was a really good interview. You know, no hair Bob and long hair Eric, and it was an unbelievable contrast. But it was just a great, great meeting of the minds there. Dave, John, could you nail into some specifics as the type of training that you had done in this kind of format? What did Eric or Scott bring to your places?
Well, we were trying to make people proficient on the Pico scope, where they would have the ability and confidence to, you know, profit from the equipment being in the shop and the training we were putting on. What you have to have a commitment from these technicians, which is in today's culture, you take what you get and you be happy for it. But to find a technician that will come in and approach a vehicle, and that's what attracted me to the first seminar, was a common sense approach to drivability and performance. Now, if you can get someone to approach a vehicle with that thought process premise in mind, utilizing the technology that's at a fingertip, what's the vehicle history? You know, we're utilizing a protractor, so what does ProDemand tell us up front? Just basics. And then start out with the basics. You know how many shop owners I talk to that a drivability technician has spent 2 hours on the car and never checked the battery? Never checked the battery.
I see you, John, laughing.
And it's 28 low voltage codes, you know, in a car. And we haven't even checked the battery. John, I mean, what do you do with that? Come on.
Are you talking about a 17 Chrysler?
John, you cannot tell me you've not experienced that.
Oh, no. It happens. And it happens everywhere. It's unfortunate. But I believe you're right. To have somebody that has the wherewithal to kind of come into it and say, okay, where do I start? How do I go about this? And I think this is where the training really comes into play, because obviously once they know how to use a Picoscope, because like over at our place, I hired a master tech that hadn't really used a Picoscope at all. I asked Scott if he would come in and kind of teach him through this, because now he's got the tools, he's definitely has the talent. So now he can actually start doing more with the tools that he has and getting through the diagnostic faster and everything else. So I'm totally with you, Dave.
You can provide the technology and the training, but to get their commitment where they will do the discipline of investing their own time, looking at this stuff like that. Repetition is the mother of learning. Okay. They only pull that thing out and they scratch their head. We are going to make a very detailed training agreement, what we're going to do, what their commitment is financially, because they're going to do an earn back. So if I'm spending $25,000 a year and I've got four technicians, I'm going to do an earn back over 48 months. You will get a credit of this much per month coming off of this total. If you choose to leave my employment halfway into it, it's going to cost you, because I'm going to invest in you and we'll see what kind of return we get. I will take the agreement out. I've got four technicians. If two sign it, that's fine with me. The other two don't have to participate. Right. I only want you in if you're willing to put your foot in the water.
What's your opinion of that, John, that agreement?
I think it's brilliant, to be honest. I wish I would have come up with it.
I've got a form, Carm. I'll send you.
But, you know, it brings buy-in. It really does. If your technicians aren't bought into your culture and what you're doing for them training-wise, I mean, I know Scott's been great. And, you know, every time he meets with Casey, he's like, you know, he'll say, you know, John's really doing a lot for you. I hope you appreciate that. And I appreciate that from Scott.
Whoever's in your facility, you got to train. If it sticks, it sticks. I'm 40 years in the business. I've seen every venue of a technician that's come about. We are going in the next 5 years to have an explosive technology issue coming at us, and someone in the shop that would be very skilled at finding the necessary talent and be able to mow them in and get these cars coded, fixed, whatever's going on, but charge for the services. It's just realistic, you know, and do that. But I got chastised. If you go to Facebook and look at a particular group, I put a checklist that a technician should follow when he goes to a car. I'm a systems operating guy, systems and processes to profits. I had so much blowback. I got, you are from hell, a garage owner from hell. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't work for you. No, because you would expect me to put up with your return work three or four times. Or I would listen to the story of how the system's supposed to work and the nanos got in the way. And look at a technician with a Ford throttle body, out of the box, brand new, and tell me it's defective. And I said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to Ford. I'll be right back. Went to Ford, got another one, took my little knife, very carefully opened the box, okay, handed it to him, said, now put it in. You're going to die on your sword, okay? And he died because he locked himself into his rabbit hole.
Right.
Wouldn't go no. It's a PCM problem. But common sense tells me I'm opening a brand new Ford electronic throttle body. And then I call the dealership and say, how many of these part numbers have you defected? None. How many in the Southwest? None. How many in the nation? None. There you go. You still want me to get another throttle body? That is so much of what creates stress, lost time, lost productivity. Then when he gets his paycheck and looks that he spent 4 hours on this, that's the friction, in my opinion.
there's some chatter on Facebook about flat rate techs are there for the pay only. Hourly guys are there to do their best in most cases. There's been a couple of comments on that. What do you think on that?
I just think that you do have to have, like I said, it's more of a hybrid system. You know, you got to have a carrot for them to do better. And if they do better, and whether it's pay or vacation time or whatever it is, but you have to give them something to shoot for. Otherwise, if they are hourly, eventually they're going to fall into a rut and they're only going to produce so much, and that's all they're ever going to do.
And I agree with John. That's what I was going to say. A hybrid system, I think, works best, not straight flat rate.
But when you're paying a drivability and performance technician $45 an hour flat rate, there should be a lot of motivation. And you're providing every piece of technology, every website, okay, at his fingertips. You shouldn't be pushing that horse up the hill.
You also have to be careful, Dave, because there's not that many shops out there that do what you do, that give you multiple factory tools, access to the factory service information, the amount of training that you send them to. You are, there's been a term top 1%ers for some of the technicians, and I'm not even comfortable being in that group. But I can name a handful of people that fit that group. You're probably in that group as far as a shop owner because of the amount of equipment and resources that you provide to your technicians and training that is amazing. Eric and I both go out and do mobile work, and we walk into shops that it's getting slimmer now, but I probably still have a couple shops that don't even have internet access. Well, right? So the playing field is huge.
It's a huge continuum.
Right.
Well, and it's market specific. Phoenix market, Dallas market is a high pay market. If you're in Emporia, Kansas, if you're in Tucumcari, New Mexico, like some of those flyover, the average technician's salary in this country by U.S. labor statistics is like 38 and change. It's incredible. And then I know people that make, you know, very high dollar, high production in major metropolitan areas. So, I mean, there's a huge continuum of not only skills but pay and what, like, I'm sure, like 20 man groups and stuff like that, like what your market will bear for your hourly, you know, charge for your flat rate hour too. So I mean, but it's still, I think it comes down to, like Bob said, if you create that culture, if you hire those right people who are all in, and not like my dear friend Kirk Holland has a new shop going up in College Station, Texas, and he has told these people, like, we're going to the stars and you guys are coming with me. They're locked into being part of the company, and it's like a 20-year plan that they want everybody to be involved in it and not have the thing that most shops have is that technician merry-go-round. And that's kind of where Easy Tech Mentors came out of, was growing your own in-house technicians. A lot of people have people that have been with them for 10, 15 years that maybe the great, I hate the ABC Tech moniker, but that maybe you got a guy that's really a good nuts and bolts guy that's super reliable, that's there, that's been with you forever, that, you know, with the right nurturing and a little hand-holding and some instruction, you can get him to that next level, as opposed to, I've got friends, I can place 100 technicians in shops that we go to. Tomorrow, I could, if I had a list of competent technicians that didn't have the drama, that had the skill set. It's a huge thing, but it has to start almost with the personal accountability of the technician, but it has to be the teamwork. I know Dave's a big Navy SEAL guy, that everybody's got their place on a Navy SEAL team. You've got the bomb guy, you've got the Overwatch guy, you've got, you know, your logistics and communication guy. Everybody has to be, what is it, together everyone achieves more in team, Dave?
Yeah, together everyone achieves more. One approach that I've taken to the solution of the technician problem is, I just brought a guy on, I've been in a shop for 5 years, underpaid, and I'm guaranteeing him six figures this year. So I just moved a very competent man, underpaid, and got, quite frankly, in a little bit of a bidding war, and I just decided I wasn't going to lose. The question I had to ask the technician finally was, okay, I have two questions for you. If you're worth $95,000 today, why weren't you worth $95,000 yesterday? Why was he paying you $74,000? And what's your future? You have four children. Where's the training? Where's the technology? Where are you going with your future? He said, give me a week. He called me 48 hours later and said, I thought about it. I'm taking the job. So that's where I'm literally going to be looking. I'm not going to be running ads. I'm going to be drafting people that are in place that I know they've got 4 or 5 years and get along with people. They can fix cars. And it's a matter of bringing them in with the right expectations.
From previous podcasts, what's that called, Carm? Constantly recruiting?
Yes, yes. Always be recruiting. Yes. By the way, my friend Mark Goldsmith said, I'd like to get a copy of that, Dave. For anyone who wants a copy of that agreement, we'll have it available on the repurposed next Thursday. This goes out as Town Hall Academy 179. Hey, this has been a phenomenal, you know, one of the things that I heard was this whole intimate one-on-one training for the specific use of a tool. That's all part of this. I mean, just bring them in and, like you say, just do the tool training. You don't have to do any GDI as an example. You could just do a, I know how much that connects and relates. Are you seeing that that's going to be a big part of this type of training?
The training that I've done has been either specific use of a tool. So in John's case, they purchased a Picoscope and that is sitting there collecting dust. And you got a tech that's capable of using it. Let's, you know, get them to learn that tool. Like the same thing could apply to a scan tool, whether it's a factory scan tool, aftermarket scan tool, doesn't matter. Other times, I'm about to go to a new shop that has hired me to train their four techs, and they want to do misfire diagnosis. So that is not tool specific. That is more procedural, logical process, more how do we approach a misfire? And that's another advantage of the face-to-face small group training is I could walk in with my 30-something scan tools and show them all the factory stuff. But if they have a snap-on virus something, whatever, we can take their tool and go hands-on and go, here's how we diagnose or how we approach the initial diagnosis, at least logically, of a misfire. And that's what they want. That's what I'll go and teach them. At the same time, I'm going to get an assessment of their technicians. And if they call me back for another class and go, we want an advanced Picoscope class, I might go, you don't even have a Pico. You have a Veriscope. So we adapt and then we show up and make the class that way that is good for them. COVID excluded. This hands-on small group training is a very fluid thing. And Eric and I have been doing it for about a year and a half. I'm sure there's other trainers that are doing it. It's a matter of what does the shop owner want or think he wants? What does the technician want or think he wants? Let's get in the door and provide the best information that we can. Hands-on is awesome and get the material across. And I think Dave can probably attest to that concept. Because he's been doing it with us for what, 5, 6 years?
6 years, I was going to say.
Six years.
In my opinion, you will not be successful in 2023, 24, 25 unless you have a structured training program, budget, commitment. And then on top of that, John, correct me if I'm wrong, you're going to have tooling and equipment on the other side of the fence. So your budget is minimum going to be $25,000 to $50,000 a year to keep up with the new technology, unless we're going to really get into the mobile flashing diagnostics and coding. But in our case, in the Phoenix market, the consolidation is moving at a breakneck speed. The corporations are going to control 65-70% of the services, quick services, in these different environments, but people that can literally come out and fix a car, that percentage is shrinking fast. So the flat rate, the return on investment, if you're willing to give the right perception and image to the marketplace, you're going to bear $175,200 an hour. And I don't know if I can mention that or not, but I admit I talked about price, but we're already higher than any dealer in the Phoenix metropolitan area, except your European, your specialty. But as far as your big three, your import, your stuff like that, our flat rate stands above theirs right now. We give a good job, we give value, and we give the ability to attract the top talent.
But the reason you do that is because you invest in the equipment, you invest in the training, you invest in your employees. So yeah, that what are you paying for? not fixing the car. You're paying for the intelligence or the smarts of the technicians, the amount of dollars you spend on subscriptions and, you know, factory scan tools. So yeah, that's justified. There's a lot of shops out there that don't understand that. And I think that's kind of the point of this conversation is, you know, what can we do to keep this going?
Okay.
Training wise and otherwise.
100%. The last technician I brought in, I got into the situation. It was worth $20,000 more a year to me to bring a competent man in that I could give a broke car to. He could go diagnose it with the equipment, the technology I had, hand me back a sheet, said, this is the parts and labor need to fix this car. Here's the keys. That's all I need. I don't need a spoon of drama in there. I don't need nothing.
Drama from technicians.
So if you can, perform that, then you are worth six figures to me. And if you want to move to Phoenix, call me.
Always recruiting, Dave. Always recruiting.
Always recruiting, right?
You want to move to Phoenix, call me.
What just happened? Did we do a commercial for Dave? What just happened here?
Why not? A couple of things. I've kind of been jotting down some notes here and there, watching the scroll from the social media feed. Earlier on, John Kalupa, who I mentioned that I'd done some training for, actually wrote, flat rate is irrelevant if you can't fix cars. That's really true. That was one point I wanted to make. The other one was when you had asked earlier about what Scott and I were seeing, and Scott was saying about different types of training being tool specific. I would say that the part we always, my joke is Bill, Scott's the Bill Nye, the science guy, and I'm kind of the common sense guy. My thing, I guess that my training is also based on like the method. I'm kind of a method guy, the same way that you heard the conversation about the 26 low voltage battery codes, and both of the shop owners like had, you know, chuckled or had been down that road before. And I equate that to technicians as going in the emergency room. The very first thing they do is baseline you. They take your temperature. You take your blood pressure, right? They don't go, oh, you need to go to a CAT scan first and then do blood work. And then somebody say, wait a minute, did somebody baseline his temperature and his blood pressure? And the third thing that I wanted to bring up with Dave's kind of a pioneer in a lot of things that he had asked me early on. He said, you know, do you use, you know, OE tools? And my company is OE centric. We use all OE scan tools. He said, how on earth do you pay for all those subscriptions? And do you have OE service information? I said, yes, on almost every vehicle we service. And he said, that's got to be, you know, excessive. I said, that's the cost of doing business. And the next time I went out, David told me, I believe it was when the Hyundai Kia tablet came out, he said, you know, how much was that thing again? And I told him, I said, you need two of them. And he's like, that's a lot of money. So he instituted on, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, a technology service fee that goes on every invoice, much akin to your environmental disposal fee or whatever that goes on. I don't know what the percentage is. Dave could elaborate on it, but that money all went into a fund. So when he collected it at the end of the year, he was able to buy that new technology on that new Hyundai Kia tablet setup. But I mean, you have to like really be ahead of the game. You have to be all in with your technicians. The technicians have to, I tell it all the time, there's not a technician that can survive on their own on Craigslist. You might make, you know, spare change money without a shop owner providing the stuff over your head. And shop owners would be hard pressed to get in the back and fix modern cars. There are some exceptions that guys that are technician turn shop owners, but it is a symbiotic relationship where we're all in the same boat together. And it has to be, as Bob said, so aptly, it has to be a culture that you create, that everybody is on the team.
Well, I tell you what happened here for the last 5 years. This is important for me to say. We were held hostage. We garage owners were held hostage because of the lack of talent on the marketplace. COVID-19 has changed that. There are more people looking for work that are skilled and talented and have the ability to fix a car and bring with them that proper attitude. And we've seen that in the last 60 days. I'm doing something to get a figure for Eric. That's why I'm bouncing around the street. because I think this is important, Eric, and what it is, he was talking about the environmental fee or the technical information access fee.
Dave, why don't you look that up and let me say something while you're doing your research, okay? All right, great. I just want to let everyone know that we've put up a really neat new feature on the website. If you go and visit and do anything with Town Hall Academy, you'll find these buttons that say add to your calendar, and this way you can actually add it to your calendar and never miss a show.
Eric, the technical information access, since we did it 5 years, we have collected $77,502 in 5 years.
Nice.
On top of the fact that you have the highest labor rate, you have a technology fee.
And you're busy as hell.
And that's why you can pay what you're paying.
It's all relevant. I mean, perception, image, what is your business plan? Who are you? What do you want your reputation in the marketplace to be? And that starts over there with that guy, John, when he looks in the mirror tomorrow.
Right.
He is the director. He is the orchestrator. If he wants to not mop the floors and not take the grease off the counter where the women won't open the door to go to the restroom, then he's not going to be able to provide this. But if he comes in as a businessman committed to the community to give value for the service, they'll give him anything he wants. The community, right or wrong, John?
No, you're absolutely right, Dave. I mean, when you can perform the job and you're doing everything that the public would like, and you're providing that stellar service, people will come to you. And you know, most of the time, we have the best warranties. We can do so much more than some other shops and or dealerships. You know, we give a better warranty than most dealerships. And when you do that, people will pay to have that. You know, they want that service. They want that. So when you're the highest in the area, it's great because you are getting the exact people that want you, Dave. They want your guys to work on their car and nobody else.
And when you receive a referral, John, when someone says, hey, we've been going to John for 5 years. Go down and see him. He'll take care of you. They right. walk in the door. They're sold. They're already sold. It's a presentation. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, thank you.
I think it's also about like your commitment to not only the shop's commitment to providing the best service, their commitment to their customers. I know Dave for years has had his wife write handwritten notes, thank you notes, which is what my mom was all about, that, God rest her soul. And it was just a really nice personal touch. And in there, you know, over a certain price point, there's, you know, a couple of free movie tickets to a local theater. Maybe that's going to change with COVID. John did a piece I saw on Facebook about the key drop box. My friend Kirk Holland at Gladney Automotive in College Station had started doing that as well. It's about finding that convenience. And I know the other thing is that it's not only about finished product by fixing the car right, but it's your relationship. I know I had this conversation with some of Dave's technician that as a technician, we get that tunnel view of this car is this work order that I get. And it's crusty French fries on the caravan floor that I got to put an evap core in. To the service writer, to the shop owner, it's a woman crying that, you know, she lost her waitress job in COVID-19, or her husband got a factory layoff, and now she doesn't have air conditioning. It's 113 degrees in Phoenix. It's the person. It's the personal thing. And the right. technician, sometimes we look like, you know, we just see the car and the invoice, but it's that personal connection that you have as a shop owner, as that team, and your relationship with the community. I know Dave has a big outreach program in Phoenix. You know, he's a big criminal because he gives out frozen bottles of water to the homeless that the city council doesn't seem to like, but it's that whole connection. I know, John, you're involved from what Scott has told me in your community, to where not only it's relevant what you charge for the hour, if you fix the car, you have that reputation, and you're somebody that people like doing business with.
Right.
Guys, this went to places I didn't expect. I really wanted to get into, I want each of you to have a final comment, just, you know, a minute summary. And one of the things that I didn't get to was your ROI on this type of training and or the assessments that you would have, you know, the pre and the post, assuming that your trainer is the one who's basically saying, hey, he got it. You know, he's good. He's good to go. And then, you know, what are you doing to verify that the training got there and it's stuck and it's working? So thank you guys so much for being here. Wow, Scott Schotten, Drivability Guys, John Bachman from Bachman's Auto, Sycamore, Illinois. Dave Denman, Dave's Car Care, Phoenix. Eric Ziegler, Easy Diagnostics trainer. So let's go around the room. Let's do a quick minute summary and possibly connect that assessment piece in there. Eric, I'll give it to you first.
Like I said, I think the whole thing is about making that connection. It's not only as a connection as a shop owner to its community, to its technicians. I think when you do in-house training, this is, I could see this being a part two, part three, maybe not like the Pete Landry, Bob Hype, Fanslow kind of thing, but I can see multiple parts in this because it is evolving. But I think as a trainer, I think that, again, not to make it the Scott and Eric show, the thing that we bring to the table, at least that is important to us, is that we are technicians talking to technicians about technical things. I think we set up that personal rapport with the technician. We set a personal rapport with the shop owners that we go to. And I've said all along that, like, through training and stuff, it has gifted me, it has blessed me with not only knowledge that I get to impart, but the people that I meet. I've met so many phenomenal people in this industry that aren't my job sucks. I can't wait to drive a truck over the road. It's I'm in. I'm all in. And this is everything in the world to me because this is my craft. This is what I do. This is how I'm wired. Thanks again for the opportunity again, Carm.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate you being here. One hell of a people guy. Dave, I'll give you the next word.
You know, I'm a guy that's living the American dream. I am. And I'm in an industry that's providing a bright future that allows me to serve the community, receive some of that so I can give back to it. And I believe in what I'm doing. My numbers tell me that I'm right, and I'm pressing forward, and I'm moving into it because I do believe that the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to see the most explosive growth, most profitable times that we've ever seen. And I think that you believe in yourself. If you don't, write a business plan so you can. But enjoy the future and enjoy the richness of what's coming to us. That's what I would tell you as you're a garage owner. You ain't making money, problems between your ears.
Great closing comments, Dave. Thank you. John, I'll swing it over to you.
Since I've been working with Scott and since we've been doing an in-house training, I've seen my technician, I think he's more fully invested now. I think this is just the first step of what we can do. And I definitely see where we are definitely going to be taking this more and more. Obviously, we're just working with my main tech now, and we've done other stuff with our whole shop. But this is something that we're going to keep rolling into. And I honestly think that the future is very bright for us. It's bright for my guys. And it's really good for our whole industry when we can embrace something like this. So I really think that most shop owners, all shop owners out there listening, should really just take a look into this. And I think they'll see how it pays off.
Well, thank you very much. It was Scott who we'll probably talk twice a month, and Scott will say, hey, idea, thought, what are you doing? What's going on? Okay, man. I don't know where this whole boutique thing came from, Scott. I may blame you for that. But thank you for bringing this topic to me and helping pull this great panel together. I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, the idea of I'm going to blame Carm for the name boutique. So choose your name. All right. That type of training, Dave's proved it works. John's on board. We've got other shops we're doing it for. But I want to make sure this isn't an advertisement for the Eric and Scott show, as Eric had mentioned before, right? There are other trainers out there that are willing to do this stuff. Keep your eyes open because new websites might be showing up because all of us trainers, and there's a ton of great ones around the country, they're going to be opening up their services. And if they're willing to travel and go and teach your guys one-on-one, it's going to be available. And I think we went the shop management route, but I think you kind of alluded to the return on investment. If you can fix the car, everybody's happy. That's the bottom part, and you move up, right? Yeah. Any questions, please let us know. And I'm not going to rattle off a bunch of emails now, but maybe, Carm, I'll send you a couple of email addresses to get in touch with us. But please, anyone that's watching, feel free to get in touch with your other trainers, too.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great holiday weekend. Bye now.
Thanks, be safe.
Thanks, guys.
Happy 4th.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.